So I've prayed about what to say in these final four Sundays. So we've got I got to wrap all this up. Yeah. So that's what you did last. So Phyllis, so you know what? It takes a whole lot of people to make this happen, and so I write the sermon and work on it for a couple of days and get it edited the way I want it, and then I send it to Phyllis because I'm challenged. I don't know how to do anything other than type, and she has to teach me how to send something to her. So I send it to her, and then she turns it into whatever else stuff on the screen. And so yesterday she said, "Have you got that file with all the sermons in it?" I've never put things into files. I just type, and then it's in the computer somewhere. I don't know how to do any of that. And so I said, "No." And she said, "Well, it's okay. I'll run to church and do it." So those are sermon titles. Those were some pretty good sermons. I like that, "All for a Can of Soup," "Hope and a Great Big Fish." I love that one. Yeah. Yeah. "How Can We Sing Songs in a Strange Land?" "It's Friday, Sunday's Coming." "Promise of Laughter." Boy, I love that one. That was about Sarah. "What's the Point?" "Increasing Our Capacity." That was a great series. "Where Are the Boundary Stones?" I love that one. Man, I gotta come back and do them all again someday. No. That's 47 years. So I prayed about how do you take all this and put it together. I know some of you are parents. You've got teenagers that are about to graduate from high school and head off to college or into the workforce, and you're thinking, "Boy, have I given them enough tools to make it?" You know, you're thinking, "Do they know how to change a flat? Did I teach them that? Or will they pay attention when the check engine light comes on the car? Are they just going to burn up, you know, things or what?" So there are a host of questions in your mind that maybe lessons you forgot to teach people. And I feel a little bit like that. Like, did I cover enough? Did I teach the right lessons over the years? Will anyone even remember anything I said? And if not, will they at least remember something of how I lived my life? And I hope that's the case. That if you forget all those sermons, who's going to? But you've already forgotten them because I have two. But, not all of them because I do. Anyway, but maybe you'll just remember how I live my life and live, you know, hopefully you'll remember some of my values and that I did my best to keep Jesus the main thing in everything and to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and His prompting, to value the whole counsel of God instead of picking out a few little things here, and to be quick to show mercy and to rest in and rely on His grace. So I hope I've taught you how to change a tire. And if you have a spiritual blowout, you'll be able to get the tire fixed, and how to keep your spiritual motor running. So I hope I've been faithful to that calling. Anyway, kind of those men and women to share that on the video today. Some of you will recognize this meme from one of my favorite movies, if we can put that up there. It's from The Princess Bride. Let's see if it shows up here. If it doesn't, well, then I'm just going to tell you about it. So, yeah, we'll see if something happens. They're looking for it. They're hunting for it. There's probably some kind of thing like, can't do that. But anyway, so if you've ever seen The Princess Bride, then Inigo Montoya and Fezzik the Giant. So everybody know? Oh, there we go. There he is. That's Inigo Montoya there. Let me explain what happened. So the scene, they're on this wall, and Inigo Montoya and Fezzik the Giant are on the wall with Wesley, also known as the Dread Pirate Roberts, who has been mostly dead all day, and Miracle Max has given him a chocolate-coated pill to revive him, but when he wakes up, he's confused about what's going on, and so he says, "Why can't I move my arms?" And Fezzik says, "You've been mostly dead all day." And so then, Wesley looks at Inigo, that guy, and he says, "Who are you, and how did I get on this wall, and where's Buttercup?" And Inigo, who is a Spaniard, says, "Let me explain. No, it's too much. Let me sum up. Humperdinck is marrying Buttercup in little less than half an hour." So anyway. So that's me after 47 years here. What are the things I still need to say? Let me explain. It's too much. Let me sum up. So the next four Sundays, that's going to be the sum. That's going to be the message. Let me sum up. And let me try to wrap some things up over these next few Sundays. I've tried to preach expository messages and stay focused on the scripture rather than preaching topical sermons. We've done so many series and preached through books of the Bible and all that. But this is one of those, it's like, well, you did that, and now I'm going to take 4 weeks of just like, let me tell you some stuff. But that's the way that's going to end up probably. But this is one of those pastoral words that I felt I needed to share with the church, so indulge me a bit this morning. And I want to go back to the first sermon I preached in 2023, so the first sermon of this year. And I said then, if you remember, that I felt like the Holy Spirit had dropped four words into my heart, in my spirit, concerning 2023, and that each of those four words would require a yes from us. And if you remember, the four words were challenge, change, calling, and commitment. And I preached that message on January 1, knowing the announcement that I was going to make on February the 19th concerning my retirement. I knew what was coming, and the four other pastors knew, as did the board. So I'm sure they heard that message a little differently than the rest of you. So I want to go back to those four words and just kind of comment on that in light of the transition that's coming, and just give us all, and if this is your first time here, it's like, well, this doesn't apply to me. Well, the four words can apply to everybody regardless of the circumstances. So the first word was challenge, and I just say, accept the challenge. And to quote from that message, I said, I know the last 3 years have been nothing but a challenge, and I hate to be the one to tell you on the first day of the new year, but life in 2023 will not go unchallenged or unopposed. I'm not suggesting it's going to be a bad year. I believe there's a new season of blessing coming, but that season and that blessing won't come to us unchallenged. Challenges can come from many directions, and 2023 will be no different. But let me tell you something you need to remember. Challenge is a means and mechanism to growth. And I remember saying that and saying, I believe there's a new season of blessing coming. And in my heart, that's what the Holy Spirit had spoken to me, a new season for the church and a new season for us. And so I'm thinking, well, Lord, the church needs to know that there's a season of blessing coming. Just don't get thrown by the challenges, because they're going to be challenges. So here we are, 4 months later. Some of you have already faced the biggest challenge you've ever experienced in your life. There's been loss. There's been pain, there's been hospital trips. I mean, whatever's gone on, there are challenges. You've lost a job, whatever else. And here we are as a congregation facing a challenge in terms of a pastoral transition. But don't forget, Christian referenced it there, we faced a tornado and rebuilt the church debt-free. You know, we've encountered other challenges along the way. We've seen changes before, storms before. We've had pastors and staff resign, retire before. So in 90 years, we've faced our share of challenges, and each time we came out stronger and better than before. Some of you, if you've been here since the tornado, then you may recall a prayer meeting that we called and had in the rotunda at VBI after the tornado. Billy Joe Doherty had a conversation, and he said, you know, Phil, maybe you ought to think about just selling the property. Maybe that's what the Lord wants you to do, is to just move a bit south. You know, the city's growing that direction, and why don't you just go and you could buy 40 acres or something out on 75 and build a brand new structure, not try to piece it back together or build on. So just do something entirely new. And I thought, well, I hadn't thought about that. Maybe the Lord's finished here in this area. And when people say Carbondale Assembly of God, well, that doesn't resonate with hardly any, even Westsiders anymore. We've kind of forgotten where Red Fork and Carbondale and all the little neighborhoods were. And so maybe that's what we're supposed to do. So I called for a prayer meeting and asked that we seek the Lord's will, to just ask if the Lord wanted us to stay on this 10 acres, to stay on this property, in this Carbondale neighborhood, or was it time to move? Or I said, maybe it's time to disband. Maybe the Lord's just saying, I'm finished with the church, and we had $2.9 million in insurance money. It was going to take $4.8 to put it back, but we had $2.9. We were feeling pretty good. I said, we'll just take that and we'll give it to missions, we'll build churches and plant it, and we'll just bless every church in town. We'll just all spread out and go somewhere, and we'll be the church in another place, and maybe that's what we're supposed to do. Let's just take it back to ground zero and let's pray and figure out what the Lord wants to do. So we did, and we met in the rotunda, and we prayed. And after that, I said, so what are you hearing the Holy Spirit say? And one by one, people begin to say, we believe the Lord wants us to stay here. We don't think he's finished with this church. We're supposed to continue. We don't believe he's finished with us in this community. There needs to be a strong gospel witness with strong outreach going on in this community. No, we believe we're supposed to build back. And so that's what we did. And you all gave and $100,000 Sunday morning offering and $1 million in pledges that came in 12 months, and the Lord blessed, and we were able to build back and to do it debt-free. But I believe that in our seeking the Lord, he had opportunity and cause to clarify and renew our vision, to even expand our vision. And in that celebration we had, and we got back in the building in the spring of 2001, Billy Joe Doherty and even Ken Hagen Jr. both spoke here and spoke prophetically about the Lord wanting a significant work in Southwest Tulsa, and we were supposed to be it. And I believe the Lord has used us to bless this community. And accepting that challenge and praying for the Lord's direction helped all of us to clarify our calling and was a means and a mechanism to growth for our church. Well, listen to me this morning. There is value in the challenge and in the process that we're in right now. And here's what I mean. This challenge of a pastoral transition, just like the tornado, it's not bad like a tornado, but all of it provides us with a season and an opportunity to seek the Lord and to reflect on his purpose and to hear from him. That's why we called for this time of prayer. We prayed on Thursday mornings here during the Lenten season, and we continue to pray. So the church together will seek the Lord, and there's benefit in that challenge in praying and drawing close to the Lord and allowing him once again to redefine and clarify his vision for our church and to renew our mission and our calling in a new season. So while I was praying here in the sanctuary one morning and during staff, we meet on Tuesday morning for prayer. And so I was just sitting back there and praying, and I was just praying about the future and about the church and the transition. I said, Lord, why don't you just tell me the rest of your plans for the church and the staff and in the transition? What's your plan, Lord? Who's coming? What's going to happen? And you know, what do you want in all this? And I clearly felt the Lord whisper to my heart, I'm keeping this close to my heart so you'll move close to my heart. And the challenge for us is to seek his heart, is to seek the Lord. The question is not, well, who do I want to be the next pastor? The question is, Lord, who do you have for us to be the next pastor? Ask him, what's in your heart for Carbondale? What do you want to accomplish through your church in this season, in 2023 and going forward? What do you want to do here, Lord, and who is supposed to lead? The challenge is finding the will of God, and the way to do that is to get close to his heart and to stay there. And we all know there can be stress and strife and pastoral changes. I get it. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody's got a preference. Everybody has a vote, you know, whatever. But here's the deal. If we stay close to the heart of God, we're going to be all right because we're going to make his choice and not just our own. And he's going to work this out. Well, how do we find it? We just keep seeking him and talking to him. Daniel was seeking the Lord for an answer. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and said, yeah, don't just interpret the dream. Tell me the dream and then tell me what the interpretation is. So Daniel goes home, tells his buddies, we got to pray. We got to seek the Lord. I need wisdom. I need revelation. I need insight. And so let's pray. And so he began to fast and pray and to seek the Lord. And when the meaning of the king's dream, the dream and the meaning was given to him, after the Lord revealed it to him, Daniel said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them, and pastors too, right? They come and go. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have made known to me what we ask of you. The answer is going to be found in seeking the Lord. He knows what's ahead. He knows what's ahead for the church. He's going to direct you as a congregation, but you have to pray and seek him. You have to seek his will. You have to get close to the heart of God. Well, here's the second thing. You have to embrace the change. Change is coming. You might as well embrace it. You can stand there in front of it, but it's like a train, all right? It's coming, and it'll run you right over. Solomon said, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. To everything, turn. Anyway, that was... Paula and I have served our time. That sounds like... And we're getting out on parole May the 8th, buddy. We get a new pair of pants and $20 and we're on our way. Somebody will need to give us a ride from out here. We served our time. We served our season. Brother McQueen used to say, you know, you serve one generation and you bury another. It's just about the truth, isn't it? We've served our time. We've served this season and now it's time for change. Change is not a bad thing. It's just change. Change comes with life. Change can be exciting. It can be scary. It's new adventures, it's new discovery, it's new possibilities, it's new opportunities. We grow through change, we mature and we learn and we leave and we age and we change. Styles change and methods change. I said a few weeks ago, regardless of who the next pastor is, you've probably seen your last suit and tie up in here, all right? I was real tempted to just wear jeans and a shirt this morning and I just couldn't quite get myself to do it. So anyway, I hung in there. But yeah, that change is coming. You're going to have a younger pastor. At least I hope so, because it'd be silly for me to leave and then you get an older guy than me to do it. We only do that with politicians, right? So let's see if we can find some even older guys to run for president. So my opinion is a younger pastor is going to attract younger people and younger families, and younger people are going to facilitate other changes. That's just the way it's going to be. There'll be fresh vision and younger ideas. If you're my age or older, don't worry about being forgotten or overlooked. This staff knows you and they love you. You're going to be fine, but rejoice that the next generation is finding Jesus and is being empowered in leadership, so Carbondale's going to remain healthy and continue making an impact for another 90 years. Long after all of us are gone. So don't be afraid of embracing the change that's coming. Change can have a way of moving us to a greater reliance upon Jesus and a greater dependence upon Him. Lord, I've never been this way before, so I'm really looking to You to steady the ship and to keep us going and just show me the way. So don't be afraid of that. I believe if we get close to and hold on to the One who never changes but is always new, yeah, that's the one we're turning to today. Don't be afraid to embrace the change. And let me just tell you, you're not being disloyal to the past or to me or to any other former pastor for that matter when you embrace and love your next pastor, all right? Embrace and support the changes that are going to come. Please don't respond with, well, that's not how we did it when Phil was the pastor, all right? The correct answer is, well, you know what? The Lord gave us a new pastor for a new season. Let's just give this a try. Let's get behind that pastor and, boy, let's see what the Lord's going to do. Don't get nostalgic about the good old days. They weren't all that good, all right? You know? I mean, well, you know, gasoline used to be 19 cents a gallon, yeah. Well, I'm not this old, but I've seen it in the movies. You know, you used to have to get out and put a crank on the front of that thing and crank it to get your car to start. Those weren't good old days, all right? You know what I do? I put my foot on the brake and push a button and my car starts. It's just amazing. We used to have all windows open and you had funeral fans at 110 degrees outside. Those weren't good old days. Thank God for air conditioning, right? So just because it's different doesn't mean that's bad. Thank God for change. The Lord said through the prophet, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. We're going to celebrate for these next three Sundays after. I appreciate that. It's fun to look back and Phyllis has been pulling out pictures and things, and man, we used to be young and had dark hair and all that kind of stuff, whatever. And so it's fun to look at all that, and I appreciate it. And there have been wonderful times over the past 47 years, but God's ready to do a new thing. So let's embrace that too, and let's just know that, man, as good as the past has been, God's got even better things ahead, right? And we're going to keep moving towards Him. Whoever the next pastor is, I've said for several years, That whatever the changes that might come, I'm going to be standing somewhere in the back applauding softly and quietly, just because I know the heavy responsibility that's borne by the pastor. And you second guess every decision and you think about it every moment. You see what nobody else sees because you're the pastor. You know, y'all know there's a snag in the carpet right down there. There is, because I see that. You know, I can stand out there. I was telling another retired pastor the other day. We were standing out there talking. He said, "I know it's the responsibility. You walk in and you see all this." And I said, "Yeah." While you're talking, I'm just looking at all that vinyl, whatever surface over there. That, you know, we need to replace that. And there's some tiles out here that aren't right. And there's still a stain up there from where it leaked. And this, all that. You just, that's there all the time. And I'm not going to miss any of that. And so when I'm gone, there's a new anointing that comes. That person's going to be anointed to lead this church, not me anymore. And with the Holy Spirit's help, I believe there's going to be greater things accomplished in the next season. So let me say to you, as you're still your pastor this morning, don't let the devil divide you. Don't let him distract you from the Lord's purposes going forward in a new season. I said in the sermon in January, God help us and don't allow us as a church to fear change so much that we'll wither and die. Instead, keep us moving forward into all you have for us. And if God answers that prayer, it'll mean change, but it will also mean blessing and new opportunities to grow and reach our community and our world. First chapter of Joshua, the Lord says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now get up, get the people, get up, and let's cross the Jordan and let's get into this promised land." Well, I'm not dead yet, but Joshua and the next generation of leaders are ready to take you into the promised land. Hallelujah. And so I say to whoever's going to be in charge of things after this, God bless you. Go do it. And don't anybody, I'm going to applaud. I hope the crowds double and triple. I hope you accomplish everything that God ever put in anybody's heart to do. Make the changes that need to be made and go with fresh eyes and fresh anointing and fresh fire and possess the land. Somebody ought to say amen to that. So then the third thing is to step into your calling. With the changes that come, there's going to be new opportunities for ministry, new opportunities for serving the Lord and for serving your church. And the truth is, and this is just true in every church, when there's a pastoral change, some people leave and some people start attending, because the reason is because it's not the same. So people are going to leave because, well, it's not the same because Pastor Phil's not there. And some people are going to go, "Hallelujah, it's not the same. Let's go to Carbondale." You know, finally got rid of that old guy, you know. So that's just the reality, right? That's just how it is. So it's the day after every election. Man, that's wonderful. We finally got that rat out of there and we got a new guy in, and somebody's going, "Now we put a rat in there and we got rid of the saint that was there before." That's just how democracy works. And so welcome to democracy in the church. So it's going to be, that's just the reality of all this. But you know what else? Here's the thing about that. I realize that all that, and I pray everybody stays and everybody, but it comes with the change. But I've had people say to me, "You know, I just believe the Lord called me to Carbondale." You know, I'll ask people when they're new, like, "So how'd you find out?" Or, "Well, you know, we visited one time and I just felt in my heart like we were supposed to come to Carbondale. He directed me to this church." Good. He called you here for such a time as this, right? And so that doesn't change because Phil Taylor's not the pastor anymore. He called you to the church. He called you to these people and to each other and to the ministries here. So I encourage you to seek the Lord and ask him, "Lord, you called me here. Maybe it was for such a time as this. And I can help in a time of transition. I can be stability and support here. So what are you calling me to do in this fresh season, Lord? How can I best serve? And with the gifts and the talent and the time and resources I have?" Listen, none of this is taking God by surprise, right? From my perspective, he initiated it, right? I mean, I'm responding in obedience to what I believe he asked of me, and that means then that this was God's timing and God's season that he has, and he's brought you here for such a time as this and prepared you so you can step up and answer his call to serve this church and to serve the next pastor, to serve the Lord and his kingdom in this season. So you're called for such a time as this. Don't run from that. Just step into it and say, "Well, Lord, here I am, how can I best support everything that's going on? And then the final word this morning is to deepen your commitment. That fourth word was commitment. Well, let's deepen it. And quoting from that original sermon, whatever the challenges, whatever the changes that may come in 2023, whatever the calling and wherever the calling takes us in our obedience, the bottom line is we must face it all and embrace it all with commitment to Jesus. And I believe that. And I don't know what the next season or the new season looks like for Carbondale or for us. I just know in my heart the Lord said there was a new season coming for this church and for us. And I'm excited to see how it all turns out, because I know God loves us, because I know he loves this church. It's his church. Jesus said, I'll build my church and not even the gates of hell can prevail against it. And so church, let's commit ourselves to Jesus and to his church. And can I tell you this morning, Carbondale is going to need you. Carbondale needs you. The next pastor is going to need mature saints to support and pray and encourage and mentor. The new pastor, the next pastor is going to need young leaders and young families to give life and energy and passion to impact this community and this world. And so I'm asking all of you to deepen your commitment to the Lord, deepen your commitment to the church in this time of transition. Continue to support your church with your attendance and with your giving. Show up and serve and pray for your staff and pray for the board. Pray for, I'm telling you, your presence each Sunday is going to be more important than the past few months for you to just be here and to say to everybody, nope, there's good things ahead, because there's going to be naysayers outside of here, not our church people, but others are going to go, well, what in the world's going to happen? Now, if you, I mean, again, I say that humbly, because you understand it's not because of me or giving, it's just simply the longevity of this. That's the deal. So there's pastors in town that, I mean, I had, you know, somebody that called that said, you know, I can't remember a time when it wasn't Pastor Phil at Carbondale. So that's for the under 50 guys are saying, well, I just can't remember. It's just going to be kind of weird to think about it and you're not there. And so I get that. That says nothing about whether I've done a good job or a bad job. I just kept showing up, you know, I used to say to people, they'd say, how many years? And, you know, they have that kind of shocked look. However many it was. And they'd say, boy, that says something about you, doesn't it? And I said, you know what? It says that our church doesn't like change is what it's what it says. And like, no, we're in a rut and we like it. And we're going to stay right here, buddy. We'll be coming out on any sides anywhere. Let's just get her in here and get her done. And so... But let's commit to the church. Let's commit to one another. Show up, be here, continue to seek the Lord, get close to his heart, deepen your commitment to one another. If there's a problem somewhere, go fix it, get it right, because we have to commit to loving one another. It's going to strengthen the church and its impact in the community. They saw us go through a tornado. Let's let them see us go through a transition that says, man, that was just the way that ought to be, and look how this flows then, and we're going to even reach more people. Next fall, when Day of Hope happens, or, you know, this coming fall, man, let it be the biggest and best ever. So we're getting ready to receive new members this morning, and it's like, well, it seems a little strange, because in one sense, I'm welcoming all you new members into the unknown. Welcome to Carbondale. I don't know who your lead pastor will be, but I'm sure it'll all be fine. At the same time, I'm welcoming you into what is perfectly known. A body of believers that love Jesus and love each other. A church family with a great history. A great legacy of 90 years of serving this community and reaching the world through missions giving. And by sending out ministers and pastors and missionaries from here to places around the globe. And you saw those young people talking today that grew up here in this church. Oh, Christian Chambliss, I'm telling you, we prayed that boy. We prayed that boy into the kingdom and into ministry. Some of y'all were youth sponsors and I don't know, Beck was, whatever, during some of his youth days. And he's come back and shared that testimony, and we just kept loving him. And now he's been knocking it out of the park in Arizona. And all those young people or whatever, they grew up here. This is what Carbondale's been all about, and we're not done yet. I'm welcoming you to a place of healing and hope and laughter and peace. There's been generations of peace. There's been lots and lots and lots of years of peace. It's a place with a great pastoral staff and a great and faithful deacon board that are poised together to do something amazing for the King and his kingdom. And so I just encourage you to remain committed to Jesus and to his church and to this church and to each other during this time of transition. That's what it's all about, and I'm convinced that if we trust him in this, the best is yet to come. So I hope you've heard my heart this morning. I just felt I needed to share these thoughts with you because I love you and I love this church. This has been my home church essentially for 56 years. Since 1967, as a 12-year-old, I started coming to church here. And trust me, I want God's blessing for this church. And I pray there's greater anointing and growth for Carbondale than ever before. And I pray the next pastor will far exceed anything I ever accomplished here. And I'm just praying, oh Lord, let it be that you do something extraordinary here in the days ahead. Praying for anointing and blessing and wisdom for all of you in these coming days. Let there be a revival. I told our staff, we gathered Friday night, I said, you know, the Lord, as a young pastor, I had a vision of, in fact, before I was ever pastor, just as a young person, I had a vision of people being delivered and set free and healed here. And what I saw in that vision, I've never seen in this grand scale of what I thought would happen here. And even prophetic words that later on in years were spoken about a move of God that would come. And I thought, Lord, why didn't I ever see that? And I'm getting too old. I can't stay until I see it. But I've come to realize that maybe it wasn't just about me and what I was going to see while I was pastor. Maybe it was about sowing seed and that then the next person gets to see all of that, and the blessing goes on, because it's never just about one thing or one person. It's always about more, because that's who he is and how he operates and how he works. And I believe there are greater things ahead. And for somebody this morning, just say this because we're going to bring the members in, but you came this morning like, well, I could care less about all that. I won't be back or whatever. But somebody listening, maybe online or maybe you're here today, you've been facing a challenge in your life and in your circumstances. And I just felt as during worship, the Lord just wants to say to you that as you surrender your life and those circumstances to Jesus, and you begin to look to him and serve him and live for him the way you know in your heart you're supposed to, then that change that you're desiring, that change is going to come. And with it, there's going to be a calling issued. I'm not talking about whether you're called into, you know, ministry or whatever, but there's a calling being issued and imparted, and you just need to commit your life to the Lord today. You need to say yes to him today in your heart. And maybe you're part of the bunch here. This is your church, and you're trying to decide, well, what am I going to do? Because I kind of said, I'll stay till you're done or whatever. But maybe the Lord's speaking to you. So I just want everybody to listen this morning to what the Holy Spirit's saying about you and about the calling and about the church and what does he desire for you. So let me pray for you this morning. So, Lord, I just thank you that your gifts and your blessings are upon this church. You said you would build your church and the gates of hell couldn't prevail against it. And Lord, we know that to be true. And we know you've built this church in 90 years, Lord. And here we are in a strong position and in a good place and believing, Lord, that there are greater days ahead. Lord, we've had 90 years. There's been some wonderful days. There's been some challenges, but boy, there's been victories won. And thousands of people have been impacted, Lord. And so I pray, Lord, that that's just the beginning. I mean, 90 years is nothing to you, Lord. 1,000 years are like a day. And so, Lord, we're just in our infancy. I pray, Lord, that we're going to step into a place of maturity where blessing and gifting is going to be multiplied exponentially, Lord. I believe for a greater anointing. I believe for miracles to happen. I believe, Lord, for an outpouring of your Spirit and grace upon this church in the days ahead like nothing we've ever seen, Lord. So lead us through this transition and bring us, Lord, into the place you have for us. And we'll say yes in obedience to all you have for us. We trust you today. And Lord, for those who are just facing a challenge in their own life, as they surrender to you this morning, as they move close to the heart of God, I pray that they're going to have a revelation of your plan and your purpose for them. And some of the change that needs to happen, Lord, they're going to say yes. They'll embrace the changes that you want to bring in their own life. And then, Lord, as that happens, I believe there is a calling issued and a calling imparted. And they're going to begin to walk in that calling. They're going to walk in and fulfill the purpose that you have in their life. And they'll even be able to look back and see, coming through those circumstances, Lord, and through the challenges, it enabled them to grow. And now they're prepared. They're equipped for what's going to happen next. They're going to fulfill that as they commit themselves to you. So, Lord, work all of that together for your glory and for their good and the good of the kingdom. Let it be. In Jesus' name I pray. And I thank you for it, Lord. You are good. And good things are ahead. Amen. Amen. Well, we've got folks in first and second service that are joining and some that couldn't be here. So I'm going to read all the names. I think the pictures are going to show up on the screen. And as I read your name, if you'll just come and stand here at the front, you can just come face me if you want to, and we'll have you turn around here in a minute. So Esther Atkinson. And we got pictures. They're going to show up here. They're coming. All right. She was almost here. There she is, right there. And so that's Esther. Corey Bell, I think he's going to be in second service. We got his picture. There's Corey. Wilman and Desiree Brown, they're going to be in second service. And they've got three little ones, Penelope and Colton. And if you haven't met Lenny, you need to meet Lenny. She has the best smile, the most excited person I've ever met. And Desiree is Rosalind and Derek Williams, the pastors at Greater Cornerstone. It's their daughter. And so I've known her since she was a little girl, and so thrilled that they're joining our church. Where am I at? Nicholas Charette. Hey, the guys are over here. So come on, come up here. You're the first contestant. Yeah. Come on down. And Zachariah, who I thought, oh yeah, he's back there running things, but you're out here. Yeah. So that's them. So yeah. So you can face me, or you can face them. Just face me. That'll work as well. Tim and Linnell Cooper, and they're in second service. And Linnell is the John and Carol Nelson's daughter, and she's come home to us, and we're glad for that. Tia Crumley. Tia is one of our ORU students. There she is, a precious young lady. And she's in second service, I think. Drew and Gracie Douglas, that's Barry and Sharon's son, a new, daughter-in-law. And they're moved home and going to join us there in second service. Terrence and Laurel Harris, boy, second service is popular. And the Harrises and all their beautiful kiddos, I've got those names. Sela, and Mercy and Trinity, huh? Sela. I always said Sela in the Psalms. Sela, Mercy, Trinity, Eden, and Judah is the man of the house over there in arms. So we bless them. They're some of our missionaries. Daniel and Janine Hazelrig and their kids, and they're part of our missionary family as well, and they're joining us. Janet Honeywell, this is Janet, are you here? There, she's here. Yeah, come on up. And she happens to be Joyce Tripp's sister. So, that's who that is. So now you know. Dave and Brenda Kelly, they're, I think, out of town today, but they've come home to us. Dave and Brenda were my youth pastors when I was a teenager. Lawrence and Renee LeMay, where are y'all at? Right there they are. And so glad you're joining us today. Mark and Janice Malloy, come right ahead. Bless you guys. And Nancy Cruzen, and Nancy and Janice are sisters, right? So you can come over here, wherever y'all want to be there. Kevin McAllister, Kevin's back there in the back, so yeah, step right in there, that's good. Who else we got? Lee and Nicole Miller, she's here in this one, so yeah, they've got Isabel and Viola and JJ. Shauna Mott Wright, she's in second service, I think. There's Shauna right there. Kimmy Ritter and Nathan Ritter and Renee Ritter, so Renee and Kimmy are sisters-in-law, and Nathan is Kimmy's son, right? I got that right. And just to give you another connection, so Renee right there is a cousin to Judy Austin. So see, there's always connections. That's why I always tell people, like, don't talk about people because they might be related. And Billy and Angela Warden, right there they are. So how about that? Come right there. We reserved a spot for you right there. Next to Janice. All right. Hallelujah. What a great looking group, right? And more to come. Yeah, there's. Thirty some people, I think, joining the church. So that's a good thing. We're pleased to welcome all of you to Carbondale Assembly of God, to our church family. And you know, people say, well, you've got a great church. Well, this is your church now, all right? So you've cast your lot with people like us. And I'll just tell you, we need you. We need your giftings, your callings, your talent, your ability, your time, if you've got some. And the truth is, you need us, whether you know it or not. People that don't have a church home, they don't know how badly they need one until stuff starts happening. And then it's like, you know, well, what am I supposed to do? Well, you know, if you had a church, people would show up, and they would. So, yeah, we're just glad we're all in this together. We believe that we're blessed to have you as a part, and you're going to be blessed by being a part of this church. I've read this statement to new members for years and years now. It's paraphrased from something Jerry Cook wrote in his book, Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness. And this is our pledge to you. This is not a Carbondale thing, so this will probably change too when the new pastor's in place. But anyway, we just kind of paraphrase it this way. This is our pledge to you. I want you to know that we're committed to you. You'll never knowingly suffer at our hands. We will never say or do anything knowingly to hurt you. We will always, in every circumstance, seek to help you and support you. If you're down and we can lift you up, we'll do that. Anything we have that you need, we'll share with you. If need be, we'll give it to you. No matter what we find out about you, and no matter what happens in the future, either good or bad, our commitment to you will never change, and there's nothing you can do about it. You don't have to respond. We love you, and that's what it means. And so, friends, that's what it means. You're part of this great church. Some of you have been here for a lifetime, like the Charette guys, and Nicole's been here since she was a little girl, and some of the rest of you, maybe you've come in the last months or a few months or years or whatever, but we're all family now, and so I thank the Lord for that. So on behalf of the members of Carbondale Assembly of God, we're going to pray in a minute, and we welcome you into our fellowship, and we love you, and we're here for you. I'm going to ask the rest of you to stand this morning. And then if you all, well, no, hang on. I'm going to pray looking at you. And then I want you to stay here, so don't leave yet, all right? Lord, I thank you for this beautiful group of our family members now who are joining the church today. Thank you, Lord, that they are part of Carbondale Assembly of God. And in that amazing way that you do things, Lord, it's not just a physical recognition this morning, but they're already part of the body of Christ. They're part of that worldwide fellowship of believers that follow you. But today, Lord, in this kind of special way, they're become integral parts of the body of Christ, the expression of the body of Christ here at Carbondale Assembly of God. We rejoice in that. We thank you, Lord, for their number. We thank you, Lord, that they've joined us and they bring all of their gifts and talent and ability with us and their prayers and their support. Lord, it encourages and builds up your church. And may we open our arms to embrace them, and may we open our arms and our hearts even wider to love them and support them in the good times and in the bad. We are members of your body, and we rejoice in that today. So, Lord Jesus, we just give you thanks that you are continuing to build and bless your church. And as we've said this morning, we believe not even the gates of hell can prevail against it. Let great grace be upon these dear friends. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you'll turn and face the congregation and stay there, and if we've got some deacons here and staff members, I want us to come by just quickly. I know we got to get Sunday school, but if you'll join us, and then the rest of you can if you want, we're going to greet these folk and welcome them into the body of Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you. I'll benedict you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. And so, yeah, play something, sing something. Thanks for joining us. Come welcome these folk into the house of God, and yeah, we're on our way. Bless